It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 588. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show, and also facebook.com/Mike Nation Net. And we have the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource. I have a jam-packed show, some stories from the trenches from this week that I want to go over. I have a stack of email that I need to get to, and I'm covering the Windows 10 anniversary update. Lots of great questions from listeners that I'm going to do my best to answer, and also seek your input to help. I have a couple things that are being asked that could really use your assistance. So before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of this show. Instant House Call is the best remote control software that you can use as a tech to assist your client. A feature that I just ran into, and I've overlooked this, there's a conference mode. So my son, Michael Jr., and I always remote in Instant House Call. We have two specialist accounts. There was a session last week that I needed him to see what I was doing, and you can conference another Instant House Call person in. And I was able to conference him in, and the two of us could see the screen at the same time. These are some of the great features, just one that you want to take advantage of. And you can download and try Instant House Call free for 15 days. Just go to instanthousecall.com or click on the link on my website. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. The first story I want to talk about is this Windows 10 anniversary update. Now, I'm part of the Windows 10 preview program, and I have it installed on a test system behind me. And I've been playing with the anniversary update, and it's been great. Got no issues. It's been rock solid. I decide to actually launch the update. I go into the updates on my Windows 10 Pro, which I upgraded to a couple weeks ago, and I talked about this, and I was surprised that the anniversary update wasn't coming in. It just wasn't happening. So I went to advanced options, and it allowed me to go to the website and download the Windows 10 upgrade assistant. And that allows you to take a look at and run all of your updates. Well, I figured no problem. I closed all my programs and I launched the update. Hours and hours. It was so slow clicking, just going forward on its percentage. I decided to leave it run all night. Well, it stuck at 99%. And I just canceled it. And it looked like it backed out and it closed, and that was no problem. So I figured, okay, it just didn't update. I had to reboot my computer. On the reboot, on Friday, it took an hour and a half to boot. I tried everything. I stopped it. I tried to go into safe mode. And let me tell you, that's a mess. They took that away, that option to try to really boot to a safe mode. it was very difficult, and I was so glad my system started. But I've been having issues ever since this attempt to go to the Windows 10 anniversary update. Now, no updates install for my Windows 10. Every single update fails. I noticed certain programs no longer work that worked prior to that update attempt. My warning is, if you don't have, if it's not being forced upon you and you can't stop it, then you got to roll with it. But don't go out of your way to install the anniversary update right now. It could cause lots of problems. I've been reading hundreds and hundreds of posts of this update literally bricking your computer to never boot again. So there are many, many people out there that once this update's applied, you'll never boot into your Windows 10 operating system again. What I'm going to do, since my system I consider right now very unstable, I'm going to make sure I got everything backed up. I'm probably going to do this next weekend. I hope my system can make it till then. And what I want to do is a fresh install of Windows 10. And I tell you, quite frankly, I'm even thinking of maybe doing a fresh install of Windows 7. So I don't know. I certainly am not going to go back to Windows 7 because I don't know what this update might have killed. I'm not going to do it from the recovery option. Anything I do, I'm going to do from scratch, and then I'll report back on that. Now, I'm very lucky I have a test system plus all my laptops, so I'm never out of business. It's just that I'm not set up to do this show from any other computer, and that's something I really have to look at. What is my backup for doing a Mike Tech Show podcast live when my main system is compromised or has some kind of a problem? So I'm going to work on that, because what used to be my backup, I had to retire that system. So that's no longer a viable backup. So this is a good segue to Terry from Arizona. Mike, ran into problems installing the anniversary update. Solution was something you talked about before. After a certain point, disconnect from the internet. Update. Also, it removes CCleaner. When something goes wrong, then here's what you have to do. I found a fix to the problem. Go to Windows Update. By opening the Start menu, search for Update and open Check for Updates. Now look down for Learn More. Click on it. It should open a link on your default browser. Now click on Get the Anniversary Update Now. File name should be Windows 10 Upgrade 28084. Now remember, with these instructions, you are doing this at a very high risk to having a problem. You make sure you have a full backup before you dare manually install this anniversary update. Open it and make sure it downloads the files. Watch for verifying download and make sure to turn off your internet, Wi-Fi, LAN if it reaches 100% immediately. Since you already have the error, file is already on your computer, so it's going to just verify like a hash check to make sure the Windows 10 update files are intact. Now, it should install updates and get stuck at the usual 2%. Make it stay there for about 30 seconds and re-enable your internet, Wi-Fi, LAN, and the upgrade should finally pass 2%. You can then live in peace. Well, mine went past 2%. Matter of fact, mine got stuck at 99% and couldn't finish. Beware. This is a workaround to get the install, and maybe had the install finally finished, I may not be having the problems I'm having now. I think right before I'm deciding to completely redo my system, I have nothing to lose but to try this method and see if I can force the update just for the experience and see if it works and does it fix anything that I've kind of left in an unupgraded state right now. A couple other stories here. On Wednesday last week, I purchased a new Synology for a big client of mine that already has a server with Active Directory, but they're running out of space. And not only are they running out of space on that server, it's an older server that's going to take great pain and suffering and cost and expense to upgrade the storage. Rather than do that, they also need mobile access to videos and photos for their business. Enter Synology. I installed the Synology, started setting up the shares, and surprisingly, this is the first time that I have a Synology in the same environment as Active Directory and a real server. There's an option on the Synology to join the domain and trust it and set up a trust between the Synology and your domain controller. I did this, and in a matter of seconds, I was then presented with the ability to pull directly from the permissions from the server for groups and domain users. And that makes it so much easier for now adding the permissions to the Synology shares. Piece of cake. And the reason I bring this up is if you are in that situation where you need to add great secured storage and add more functionality, perfect solution. It's like buying a full server and letting it participate in the domain without all the great expense of another server. And you got the really easy to manage Synology OS, the disk manager, to be able to manage all the permissions, all the shares, and everything you need. So very nice. Wanted to share that story. Saturday, have a client that hired a remote salesman in the middle of nowhere. And I don't realize this until we talk on Friday. I need to download Office. He purchased an old version of Office 2010 that I had a license to sell. And I staged it on my server. And that's like 700 meg that has to download. Not terrible size. When I'm speaking with him on Friday, he said, "Mike, I can't talk to you and have internet at the same time." I said, that's interesting. Why? And he says, "Well, I use internet as a hotspot off my phone." I said, that's not going to work. I said, "I can't download Office through your phone to your computer plus be remoted in with instant house call at the same time." I said, "That's going to be very, very difficult. We need some better internet." And he said, "Well, I can go over to my girlfriend's tomorrow. She's about a half hour away. She has better internet, but no cell service." Well, we figured out she does have a landline. So he took his desktop over there and we scheduled time for Saturday morning. 2.5 painful hours of downloading and setting up Office on his system. It should have been a 15-minute job. That ended up being 2.5 hours because of slow internet. And I'm seeing this more and more on some remote people that don't have the broadband access that we're used to, or at least that I'm used to. I'm still running in the DSL that reminds me of dial-up. The speeds are so slow. If you're in the middle of nowhere, who's going to run the hard lines? Cable companies, Verizon, they're not going to run fiber. They're Fios. So it's going to be very difficult to be able to get good, reliable broadband access. Now, a lot of these people turn to dish and satellite, but I've personally lived that in the corporate world where we had lots of little shops that we had to connect to and manage. And it was very difficult because of securing any kind of reliable broadband access. I mentioned and read an email on the last show that I recorded about scheduled tasks being broken after downgrading from Windows 10. This is from Mark Cobb. "I can confirm that scheduled tasks are broken after downgrading from Windows 10. I discovered the fix a few months ago and reported by the first answer in the article link from your show notes." And I have that link. I'll post it up there again. "His fix is the real deal, and I have used it on a dozen systems with no problems. Hope all is well." Thank you very much, and I will repost that link This is Cormac. Your last show, 587, you said about a great tip you had from a listener about speeding the Windows 7 updates. I must have missed that show. I actually talked about it across several shows. I was wondering, could you tell me the show number? Thanks, man. I know you're up to the walls. I'm busy myself. When I get time, I must send you an email about using Facebook advertising. It's almost getting me at least 50% more work in the last few months. Might help people out there. Yes, actually, that's good. I mean, it's not good for me. That's not how I take that back. Thanks for your show. It's the first on my week's podcast list. Oh, thank you very much. Yes, Facebook marketing could work for you. I got to admit, I got a referral from someone who posted in a group asking for help, and someone who knows me tagged me on that link, and she gave my contact information to the person, and the person reached out to me, and I now have an appointment next week from a client for someone that I would have never got had I not been on Facebook. It is definitely worth looking into. Microsoft Home versus Professional. I'm an optometrist and was told my server computer needed Windows Pro. That's always the safe bet, especially because of some of remote desktop, and I'll go into other features. I tried it with Windows for Home and it worked fine. When I heard you say only Pro for your clients, I read some of the differences and some of the features don't seem to really be useful to me. Could you explain why a small business needs the Pro version? The Pro version is if you need in Windows 7 world, you didn't get BitLocker, but if you upgraded to Windows 10 Pro, you now have BitLocker. You're also able to properly announce the workstation to a real server. If you had a true blue real server running the Windows Server operating system, you would not be able to connect to the domain. You could map to shares and still use files, but you couldn't work with the group policies and things that you are right, you probably don't need for your business. And there's many small businesses that don't need it. Why take the chance in a business environment? I'm going to post a link of Windows 10 differences between Pro and Home. And the extra features of Pro far outweigh Home. And you don't know what you don't know. There may be something you need to implement down the road that you're going to need those features. And then it's going to be massive updating time. And you're going to go through a cost. Why not worry about that now. Now, since you're in the Windows 7, you could probably get away with Home if you never intend to have a real server in your environment. I'm going to give you an example. I had this discussion with my dentist office that I manage. They used a peer Windows server. But if they add any more, and they are growing at an alarming rate, if they add any, like two more people that need to access this software, we're going to have to get a real server. I did the right thing by only rolling out Windows 7 Pro for them, because we are going to be upgrading to a server just for the fact that their dental software that they use for their practice is going to require a full-blown server soon. I want to plan as best we can for the future and put my clients in a position that they're not going to go through excessive costs if things in the business change. If you're a small practice and you can get away with Home right now, fine. But beware, there are software companies out there. If you have a problem with their software and you call them, even though technically there's no real reason why they can't help you to get it to work with Home, they could deny you helping you because they required Windows 7 Pro as opposed to Home. I ran into this with a software company called EagleSoft for the dental software. They will only support the Pro version of any operating system. If a dental office has Home, they won't support it. They won't help you. They won't remote in to fix anything. Keep that in mind. Sometimes we have to upgrade and obey just because we have to, because we want the support. I know it's not the answer you want, but I think you are absolutely right, Lyle, that you probably could use Home. But if you're buying any new systems, I still strongly recommend that you buy the pro version. This is from Joe, who I was glad to meet with and have some drinks with up in Toronto. This is the website for high-quality, ergonomic, articulating arms, computer, monitor, and device mounts. Mike, here is the website I was talking about in Toronto. I have used this company for my dental offices. All American-made, custom-made to order, very high quality. And this is ICWUSA.com. So www.ICWUSA.com. Link will be in the show notes. Joe, thank you for that link. This is from Michael. I heard last week you wanted something like this, and I found it for you. And this is Alexa and email. Works with all mail providers, Gmail, Yahoo, Exchange, iCloud, IMAP, and others. And this is AlexaKillStore.com, and it's email assistant. Next link, Scribe, S-C-R-Y-B. It's not perfect. I actually implemented this. This is a skill that you can download to Alexa, to your Amazon Echo, that will enable you, you know, as I'm talking, my Echo actually just added something to a shopping list that it shouldn't have. So now I'm going to have to go look at that. Anyway, you got to be careful when you're talking around these devices. Scribe is an application that you can send text messages and talk them. A little complicated, but once you get it set, you can do it. But what I don't like is that when it goes to the person you're sending it from, it's from a number that they don't recognize. So you almost have to make sure that in the text message, you're describing who you are. There's another one called Pocket Assist, and I will have the link to that. All three of these apps, and anybody wants to share any kind of extensions to the Echo like that, please send them to me. I'm very interested in looking at them. This is from Martin. Met with Martin up at the Young Convention last month. Mike, I have heard you talk about BNI in the past, and I thought, this is not for me. During the convention, I thought, why not? Go and take a look. Went to my first meeting yesterday morning, and wow, what a group. I actually knew people in the group, and they made me feel right at home. After the meeting, I had a one-on-one meeting with people interested in my services, and I had not even signed up. The cherry on the top was the president called to follow up and see what I thought and if I was interested, and then asked me to sub for him. What an honor. Unfortunately, I will be out of town and not able to. Thanks for your show and keep up the great work. And he has a, by the way, Geeksters is coming back and should have a show recorded within the next week. Martin, thank you so much, and glad that BNI meeting worked out for you. I wish you great success in your BNI chapter. This is from Larry. Heard you say frequently on past shows that putting an SSD into an older laptop will help keep it among the living, so to speak. I have an old Sony Vaio that runs a Core 2 T5500 1.67 gigahertz processor, but its interface to the drive is original SATA. Now, he goes on, he's worried about putting the newer SATA 3 with a regular SATA. I have no problem with that. As a matter of fact, go ahead and try it. Put it in. It's still going to be phenomenally faster. Are you going to get the maximum speeds of a SATA 3? No. But a lot of these drives can shift down and perform. I would try it, but I would buy the drive from a place that you could return it if things don't work out. Buy it from Amazon. Go to a big brick store that has a good return policy, just in case you're not happy with the results. I guarantee you, even putting the mismatch of the SATA, you're still going to get great performance. I've done this from SATA 3 to SATA 2 with no issues. Now, an original SATA, I'm not sure, but I say go for it and try it. You're still going to be happy, I really think. This is from Nathan. Enjoy the show. Please tell me you have come across a way to stop Windows from automatically rebooting my PC once the updates have been downloaded and installed. I think only the pro version will allow you to do that. And that's a big difference. Here's a difference between pro and home. Pro lets you schedule the updates and schedule when you're going to reboot. I know I can set active hours in there, but I don't want Windows deciding when my PC should be rebooted. The ability to stop this appears to have been removed in the anniversary upgrade in Microsoft's all-knowing wisdom. Is there a way for us to block current Windows 10 updates occurring? And then we can unblock it and decide to do it. Is there a third party or utility? Sort of like GWX Control Panel did for blocking Windows 10 with a utility Never 10. Has someone been able to figure out a way for us to control the Windows updates and when they're going to happen outside of the clutches of Microsoft? I would be very interested in that, and I would absolutely share it. Nathan, thanks for the email. Last email from Joe. Couple of questions. You talk a lot of tools and tips. Unless you have the memory of an elephant, I'm sure it's hard to remember them all on the spot. How do you organize and keep track of them? Do you just search the show notes or organize them in another way? I actually search my own show notes for a lot of the tips. But I will admit that critical tools I put in Evernote, and I title it to where it's easy for me to do quick searches in Evernote, and I can come up with the tool. Real important tools go into my directory to be updated for my USB toolkits. And I have a couple of these directories. Once I get a great utility or tip, I put it in there, and then I update that, and that's how I update my USB sticks. But you sort of have to have your own database. And to me, the best way is Evernote to be able to categorize all these. Two, I don't often get to log on to watch live via Ustream, but the last two times I've logged in, all I see that in the channel is off air. Am I just hitting on bad days? Or no, I have not. I use Ustream and I'm on Ustream right now. But the Ustream recording for me seems to be broke. So now that Ustream Producer is working on my computer and I didn't do it today, I'm going to start locally recording this show. And then I will post it up on my website, not Ustream. Look for that down the road where the videos will come back. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody that buys from Amazon, please use my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to help support the Mike Tech Show. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all of your continued support. Don't forget to support Instant House Call at instanthousecall.com. Download your 15-day free trial. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show. That's it for this Sunday afternoon. I want to thank everybody for staying subscribed and hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it. I'll be back same time, same channel on Thursday night. That's it, everybody. Bye-bye.